Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, we bring you on an expedition through the depths of the movie industry to discuss the amazing, terrible, and amazingly terrible movies based on video games. Our hosts' entire lives are dedicated to a single goal. Probably. Answering the age-old question, do games make good movies?
Yeah. What's up, guys? Hello, and welcome to the Popcorn Talk. I am Corey Takei. You can follow me at Corey's, and you can send us comments and all that good stuff at hashtag VGFilms. Also, go to our YouTube is Popcorn Talk Network, or the Twitter is The Popcorn Talk. And I've got two great people with me, as always, Patrick.
I am here, Patrick Deves. You can follow me on Twitter at P to the D's, D-E-E-S.
And Mark.
I'm the Internet Soapbox Mark. You can find me on Twitter at Soapbox Mark.
I want to be the Internet something.
Yeah,
I want that.
Like, I'm from Los Angeles, but I'm more from the Internet,
yeah.
So I'm the Internet Soapbox Mark.
I can get behind that.
There you go.
All right.
That's really interesting. I'm like pumped right now. Yeah, so today we are going to talk 2001's Tomb Raider. It was pretty much because I did a cosplay. We couldn't decide what to do.
This is true.
And I had
real
a more
behind the scenes.
Yeah. Let you in. A little inside baseball as to how we choose our next show here.
So we were indecisive because we wanted to pick a good movie, and it was just, you know, it's kind of hard in this genre video game.
But we've dedicated our lives. Did you hear the intro? This is the question we've dedicated our entire lives to. We're here.
I have done nothing since 2 weeks ago.
I understand that.
But watch this movie.
You're on a quest over and over again.
I know it word by word.
Perfect.
Shower scene by shower scene.
Fantastic. We'll do I want to do a Tomb Raider like Mad Lib, so like just fill in the blank, and you got it.
I'll try.
Okay, so, perfect.
2001,
yep.
Lara Croft Tomb Raider. So we're not doing the second one, The Cradle of Life, so we spared each other 2 hours. But that being said, we're doing, yes. The star Angelina Jolie, as well as director Simon West, who did Con Air.
Well, yeah, which surprised me, right? Because yeah. Con Air like is an objectively great movie.
No, it's a great movie.
It's a great movie. Yeah, like, sorry for the qualifier. I just want to make sure people understand it's an unbelievable movie.
Well,
this, however...
Yeah, overall thoughts of this movie, because now we're finally discussing it together.
You started it, so go ahead.
Actually, if we can take a step back, I'd actually like to frame this conversation specifically around our experience with the original Tomb Raider before we came into this movie, because I think it colors it a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
Perfect.
Let's do it.
So, like, the OG Tomb Raider, I played on a PC back in the day, and I really only had kind of like a cursory interest in it. I wasn't all caught up in all of the Tomb Raider hype like over the years. It just kind of like I knew it existed. I actually caught back up recently in the Temple of Osiris, kind of that isometric.
Oh, the top down.
Yeah, and loved it. I thought it was an unbelievable game. It's not a core Tomb Raider title.
But you weren't like a teenage boy lusting over Lara Croft at all?
No. Sure, but like I was much more of like an Unreal Tournament guy like at the time. So like I kind of missed a lot of that, a lot of the Tomb Raider stuff. I did, however, so I played the Temple of Osiris and then the reboot from this last year of the Lara Croft
2013.
I think that moment to moment was the most fun I had gaming that entire year. I don't know if that was my game of the year, but it was up there. I'm super excited about the one coming out this at the end of 2014. So that's kind of like my experience with Tomb Raider. I haven't been really interested in this IP at all until very recently, right? Again, loved that reboot. That's one of the reasons I was excited to kind of jump into watching this and kind of revisit
classic,
it. Cause now I'm, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Cause it's not like an origin story. She is just like in her mid ass kickery, right? It's not like, hey, I'm learning to be tough. I'm learning to tomb. Like we show up right at the beginning. She's full on Lara Croft, two pistols, just doing her thing. So, that's kind of my experience. Exposure to that. So Marley, did you play that like early on?
I was the thing with us is we got the pleasure of having demo discs back in the day.
Oh yeah, I remember demo discs.
Before just being like, what is my favorite reviewer say? No.
Right.
Yeah. So PlayStation Magazine, I got the demo for Tomb Raider.
Oh, all right.
I just couldn't get into it.
Really?
Yeah, I wasn't feeling it either at the time.
What?
The original.
Like, the thing about the movie that I was expecting from my experience with the game was I didn't see her jump for a ledge and miss a bunch and fall off and die and then restart the scene.
She didn't do that.
No.
Not once.
So
not one
the realism
respawn.
For me was just lost. But aside from that, the reboot also just came at a time for me gaming when I couldn't finish it, and it wasn't that I was uninterested.
Right, right.
I like how the Uncharted series took its inspiration from Tomb Raider, and how the new Tomb Raider took its inspiration from the Uncharted
yeah.
series,
uh-huh.
and they both have since sort of stood on their own as their own thing.
Sure,
I love the way that the franchise has been re-sparked in everybody's imagination, and I would like to see a new Tomb Raider with this actress. But for this one, this definitely nails the idea of what everybody thought Lara Croft as a character
was supposed to be. I think it does.
I completely agree with you. In terms of video game adapted movie, it pretty much sums it up. It really doesn't need a deep plot line. It doesn't really need a lot of emotional connection to the character.
Yeah.
It did the video game well. My experience with the video game is I loved it.
You did. The original, you were on board from the very beginning.
On my PlayStation 1.
All right.
Yeah. And I remember thinking, this is badass. This girl, and it's a female, which is a lot more rare back then.
Sure.
And it made it deeply impacted me, thinking, us girls, we can really do shit.
Yeah.
It brought in a lot of girl gamers as well.
It did.
I think
so. Where were you with, obviously there's been several iterations of Lara, and the gameplay and the mechanics have evolved. How did you play the reboot? Were you on board with the new one? How do you
we reviewed it together.
We probably did. Probably. We do a lot of things together. We talk a lot. I don't know what we talk about on mic and off mic. It all blurs, you know? But so catch me up and people watching at home, you dug it.
I think the original versus the reboot are completely different Laras. Obviously, the reboot one, Lara Croft, is a lot more vulnerable. You feel a lot more emotionally connected.
Sure.
Where in the first one, it just felt like a video game, and you're navigating a character who is just badass and knows how to do shit.
A lot of whitewater goring.
A lot of goring.
In the new game.
A lot of goring. Yeah, they replaced Missing the Legend Falling with getting impaled with a spike.
Absolutely eviscerated by the surroundings.
It was a little intense.
Oh, but.
It was. But, I will say the thing I really dug about that, and then we can jump into the film here at some point. But I really liked.
At some point.
Yeah. Well, I know. Do they make good films? Let's talk about video games. I like video games, if you haven't noticed. I really dug in that game, especially that moment where she takes her first life. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but the way it was handled incredibly well, right? Because she was really rattled, like any human being would be. I mean, turns into a murder machine for sure 20 minutes later, but really has a hard time reconciling the fact that she took a life. And so I dug that one tonally, and how, how she became the Tomb Raider, and just impossibly tough. I really dug it. So I went into the film kind of with that as a built-in backstory a little
bit. That's a bad thing to go
with. It's a bad thing to get, for sure. I didn't like it before, I like it less after that.
If there's a movie that says early 2000s to a T, I think Tomb Raider.
I think so.
Soundtrack, acting.
Oh, the soundtrack's so good. Chemical Brothers. Give me some of that. Fat Boy Slim, right?
But it's just some of that. You know what? Let's use every song or every action movie has this a very similar soundtrack. Worked for Matrix. Let's just do it for this one.
Throw in some 9-inch nails.
So,
tell me that is not a badass scene when they're getting off of the helicopter and she's got the hood,
there's
the snow.
There's a lot of badass scenes.
The Reznor, the 9-inch nails as they're getting off the helicopter. Far and away my favorite scene.
Yeah, there was a lot of...
I just put Reznor in a movie. As much as soundtrack as that guy can do.
You know what else I forgot about this movie, and we're going to talk about this movie right now, is I forgot that Daniel Craig was in this movie.
That's two of us.
Three. No, because that was before he really exploded. He was a popular actor, but it was never oh, look at this. But also, there's just a thing that Hollywood always does, and it bothers me. Well, not necessarily bothers me, but it's just, I found it odd how we get Angelina Jolie, an American actor, playing a British character. We get Daniel Craig, a British actor, playing an American actor.
That movie? Yeah. No, he is a cartoon version of an American. Hers is bad, and his is orders of magnitude worse. I can't.
Question.
I can't.
Where did you guys watch the movie? From what format? Because I watched it off a YouTube channel, so there was a really bad dubbing.
Legally.
Yeah. There was a really bad dubbing to make it legal, so I didn't actually hear on Angelina Jolie's voice. I'm like, darn it.
She doesn't whatever. I think it's a serviceable British accent.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
She's never been one to really ruin an accent. She's good with it. And also, this is also a very, very This whole thing is just very cartoony, and the suspension of disbelief is really high because it's based on a video game. And of course, like, the fact that the first scene was like a, like the practice run, and it comes across very, very quickly, but I thought at first, initially, like, all right, she's just going in for a tomb, and this is how we're getting established. We're establishing her as a character.
Sure.
And
sure,
then
sure, sure.
Robots.
Yep.
Did when you, since, yep. Since you never, like, really got deeply into the video game, were you able, did you just watch the movie as, like, a separate entity, or did you kind of compare it?
Well, I mean, there was plenty to compare to. Mm-hmm. Like, it was very similar game throughout the ages. I went back and I played, there was the collection on PS2, or no, it was the PS2 collection that came out on PS3, and I played a little bit of that like 5-6 years ago. So it's all very, so I mean it's tomb raiding. It's like once we got into what she needed to do, it became, oh well, yeah, this is the treasure she's going after, let's get the treasure, she has to work with the bad guy. It's all like oh sure.
Okay.
I love the idea of this character herself, as well as like Nathan Drake's character, those type of characters, the archaeologists, excavationists, mm-hmm. who are badass.
Indiana
and,
Jones.
Like, have puzzles. Yeah. Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones.
I know what you're talking about.
Are you from kids? Indiana?
Indiana Jones.
City of Jones in Indiana?
So let me ask you guys this too. I'm with you. I think that obviously that's just a cool, like,
Yeah,
for sure. Mm-hmm. Well, so what was your experience? So, like, this has been interesting to me every week when we discuss these, because a lot of these movies we watched a long time ago, and then we're now revisiting for the purpose of discussing that topic that we, like, our whole life has been dedicated to. Do games make good?
Whole life.
So what was it? Did you like it then, in 2001, when it, like, was emblematic of the entire decade? And how did that compare to this recent
viewing? I was very disappointed with it the first time.
You were?
To the point where I did not like Angelina Jolie. But the second time around, I think she is what makes the movie. Mm-hmm. But I actually thoroughly enjoyed the movie for what it is. I wouldn't say, oh my gosh, it's got everything. But I enjoyed it.
This isn't a cinematic masterpiece. Yeah. This does the job that it's supposed to. This is in the same vein. This is the same vein of Mortal Kombat. It's a very basic premise. You don't have to overdo it.
Yeah.
There are other movies that have done it before. You borrow stuff from them to make it appeal to the wide audience. And it hit. It made one of the few movies that made its budget back and more.
Oh, yeah.
Got
yeah,
a
yeah.
sequel that was critically better. But in terms of Angelina Jolie, like back then, I mean, this was 14 years ago.
Yep.
She was the perfect Lara Croft.
Angelina Jolie looking hot for 100 minutes, and me at that age? Sure, I loved the movie.
I'm on board.
You put a shower scene in the first 10 minutes?
That was
for
weird.
For a little labored. And it looked like she was having sex while showering.
But I'm just saying. The hair flip.
Yeah, I know. Like,
that was so
her mouth was wide open. Yeah.
Totally. Yep. But she's made her early career was just that, right?
But then at the same time, you did get a Daniel Craig shower scene.
You did.
Like, all right,
thank you.
Even it up.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that as well.
And several D jokes.
Several. Every week I look forward to coming on the show and hearing something you have to say. I think to say Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, not a cinematic masterpiece. If this was a retail, like, I want that to be a back of the box quote.
One of my favorite
things you've said on the show. Yes.
All right. So a brief plot breakdown. Basically, we have Lara Croft. Yeah. She's a super rich kid. Somehow she mysteriously loses her father. He dies and she was very close to him. And now she's looking for an artifact that goes along with another artifact that Illuminati wants, because in every 5,000 years, they need to put it together.
Yeah.
To bring some craziness to the world.
To control time.
Yes.
To control
time. And that's the thing, to control time, but at the end of the movie,
it wasn't very important. Do you?
You have to cradle time. It's like a baby.
Do you?
What do you guys think? Probably not much. What do you guys have to say about the story itself? The writer's decision to make it this story, how close do you think it relates to the game?
I mean, I think you touched on it, right? Like, I think this is arguably the perfect video game adaptation for games at that time.
Yeah,
right now, I think there's been a modern renaissance in video game narrative. So mm-hmm. I think now cinema can be much more nuanced. I'm looking forward to kind of new properties that we see kind of going forward. But like at the time, this was, again, emblematic of video games as a whole, right? They had about as much depth as this movie did.
Yeah.
And so like, especially at that time, you can't expect more out of this. I know that's that's a get out of jail free card, and it's still just a terrible movie. But I feel like for fans of that series and just gaming at a whole at that time, you couldn't walk out of that movie going, oh, I didn't see that coming. Like, I wanted a real right. connection with Laura, you know?
So it stays pretty true to the game.
I think it does. Yes. I mean, yeah, I think in, yeah, I mean, it was. It was like, it could have been its own spinoff.
Even a lot of the scenes, like where she swan dove down, that's a game part. Then they
kept a lot.
A lot of nods, right? The double pistols and the falling over, I mean, and the flips, especially also, in that first 10 minutes.
Even just the minute thing of her hair coming down over, like the two little things, it's like, that's on the cover of almost every flipping game. Like, that's Lara Croft right there.
Yeah, there's a lot of like things that they did really well, including her mansion.
And who didn't watch that movie then and kind of now and not like who watched it and didn't want those bungee deals that she just swan dives off before going to bed?
Christopher Walken, weapon of choice.
Yes.
Totally.
What'd you guys think of the villain played?
Don't remember his name.
Neither do I. Super memorable.
Manfred Powell.
Lord MacGuffin.
Yeah, he. I saw him. I'm like, oh, Game of Thrones. Oh, Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
That was the cool thing. I was like, oh, yeah. I mean, he's been better, but I don't know. He's
better with Khaleesi. Like, he needs Khaleesi as far as
it seems like.
Okay, that's a different.
different discussion for a different time.
Sure,
but for this movie, it was almost kind of the same relationship that we saw in Indiana Jones 1, where it's like, we're both working to this end, we might as well work together,
right.
And then at the last minute we'll kill each other. But on that end, it was like, oh, well, I couldn't see the evil in this guy. Like, I couldn't see the really why he wanted it, other than, dude, it would be
pretty
so
rad.
Cool to control time.
Be like the coolest.
I could get your dad back, and it'd be all.
Could we do?
It'd be so cool.
Even in the beginning, he's like, "I know where it is," and he walks. And he's like, I have no idea what to do.
Yeah. For sure. My favorite part of like his whole performance was they were in there in Cambodia, and they've got this legion of people pulling the statue down, and dude's just kicking it on the couch. Just kind of leaning back.
Post scene of the whole thing of getting the first part of the triangle, when he's got the massage in his back. He's like,
oh yeah, yeah.
And then it's like, all right, see you in Italy.
Harder.
Like I can't. Like, how are we supposed to not like this guy when he's giving such kind of an affable performance? Also, he's not and the scene in Italy where he's like, I bet you don't sit here. It's like, no, I sit here. Like, the kind of digs, it's like, this is where your father used to sit. Like,
right?
Because that was his voice. But not just that, but it could have been like, if we had had a moment where he's like, but I deserve to sit in that seat, and where you see the ambition of him wanting to take
over
everything, and Laura just be like, okay, now I really can't say no to this guy because he wants to kill everything. And then that reinforces her. So we never really had that moment that made us go, oh, that's the bad guy.
Right. He's not the most believable as a villain.
He worked.
He seemed his intentions.
Seemed a little psychic, too. When she gets like to that point, to your point, when he's getting the back massage with the feet, and Lara barely escapes and calls from some weird satellite corded phone. Yeah. He picks it up immediately. I was like, Ms. Croft. Like, world did you like lucky guess? I don't know. It was unbelievable.
But also, what I didn't buy was Angelina Jolie's character, Lara Croft, along with her half-crush with Daniel Craig's character.
That made sense. Like, that seemed like the opposite of Indy and Ravenwood. From Indiana Jones. It seemed like the opposite of that, where they're both in it for the same thing, and he's more pig-headed and in it for the money as opposed to, like, the thrill of the hunt. That made sense, but it, like...
I didn't buy the part where she kissed him after he died before they go back to the time. Like, she didn't like him that much. I mean, at least the way I viewed it.
Well, think about it. It's an emotional rush of like, I don't know how I feel about this guy. He's dead? Crap! I never got to like really express what I could have felt. There was always this like little kind of tension bit. Then the rush of, oh, you're alive again. Cool. Awesome. And then probably like 2 weeks later it was like, yeah, I was just like really sad that he died.
About that, like, post death kiss. I don't.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's probably not gonna happen.
It's not you. It's me.
Totally
it's me.
I saw my dad.
I'm not in a place to date right now. Yeah. I don't.
I just wasn't feeling that.
But come on, it's Daniel Craig. Like, I've got a staunch record of heterosexuality, and I'm attracted to that man. Like, it's Daniel Craig.
If someone's dead, I wouldn't think about kissing them first.
All right.
But you bring him back to life. Like, I thought I lost you, and then it's like, oh,
right.
I never had you in the first place. Whoops.
Yeah, it was, okay. And then we had her father play her father.
John Voight.
Actual father.
So I gotta give him kudos for that. Yeah. But also another American actor with a British accent. And it's just like...
I don't know, maybe you guys can lend some credence to this here. Because at the time, I remember hearing that she and John Voight were actually kind of estranged. And this movie brought them together in some capacity. I don't know if that's accurate or not.
That's what I hear too, but I think they're estranged again now.
Oh, right. The power of Tomb Raider. Yeah.
Well, no, like the new game came out and she's like, hey, we're doing another movie.
No, Dad.
It's completely different now. It's like,
could you just let that go? We're never doing another one.
But I thought that was cool, like that they were actually, you know... related in real life. Now we're talking about the director. I really couldn't find much online about how he knew how his relationship to Tomb Raider before he actually creating this movie with the writer and stuff. So, but he has 6 movies in his directorial arsenal.
What are those other 6 movies?
One, A Stranger Calls, Close to Home.
Okay.
Keen Eddie, Lara Croft, The General's Daughter, which was supposed to be really good. I haven't seen that. And Con Air, which was phenomenal.
I mean, just he needs more mullets, right? That's the secret in all of that. If he had more Con Air mullets, I think he would have had a more successful career.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing that out there.
Daniel Craig had a mullet in this?
Ooh.
Yeah.
America.
You two on that
perched
side.
Perched eagle on his shoulder.
That's for you two.
Please.
Okay, so let's talk about some likes.
All right.
So let's each give out some of our likes. I think we were already talking
Patrice?
About
Patrice?
I liked the soundtrack. I liked.
Are you Daniel, really? Like, is that hard for you?
I liked Daniel Craig. Like, whatever. Like, it was cool to see him in this role. I think he's a phenomenal Bond. Mm-hmm. He gets a lot of grief for that. But, like, it was cool to see kind of like, okay, I get it. I get where, like, they saw him kind of in this action-y type role. His accent was, I don't know who made that decision. But, like, again, it was cool to see Daniel Craig. I kind of like. I know this is ridiculous, and I will take flack for this, but I'll say it on the internet. I actually kind of really liked the mystical kids. Like, when Lara would show up and be like,
oh, God.
Just the butterflies.
Don't do this for him.
Who? Your father.
Oh, God.
I know, I'm struggling here. Like, I will say, and like, again, if we're leaning into the positive, I thought, again, at that time, perfect video game adaptation.
Okay. I liked the action. I thought the action was really well done.
Did you?
That's positive. Yeah, I did.
No, The first tomb scene, where they were trying to escape, but it was also just like, just fire everything! Just fire all of this! But also, her
in the house, right?
No, in the temple, the first temple.
Oh, okay.
But her reloading mechanism is
back of the
coolest thing.
I agree!
Back, crack,
thank you. This is why I love doing this with you.
Totally. Positive.
100%. I just need to be reminded.
But it's also like, as video gamey as that is, why don't we see that everywhere in action movies?
I agree.
Like, even just the two sticking out in the first action sequence was just like, that's so cool! Because then you can use that, but yeah, super cool. The characterization of Lara, they made her strong. They didn't give her daddy issues. They made her dedicated to her father and her father's memory. Without it being daddy, why? And they were no, I'm gonna fight for my father's memory
and just fulfill
what he had intended for me, which is really cool and really solid.
I think they did successful there. All the destinations they picked, spot on.
Cambodia.
Yep. Cambodia.
A set in Italy.
Yeah. I thought that was good.
I mean...
Some really sweet establishing shots.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is they said Italy, but it's like, that's a soundstage.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And these are... You got a day to do some establishing shots in Italy.
And, of course, I, again, can't see anyone else playing it other than Angelina Jolie. So I think that was the biggest
problem. I will say casting is like... Yeah, I think we're all on the same page.
The casting is...
I mean, to the point where they weren't even going to make the next movie, right? If she didn't come back, it's too much. She just is Lara Croft.
Yeah, who would you imagine...
The only person that I can imagine as Lara Croft now is the actor that they use to capture in the game now.
Or maybe you. Maybe Camilla? Miss Takebe. Yeah. Miss Takebe potentially could be.
I don't think they want an Asian Lara Croft.
Why not?
I know, right? Why not? Right. Thank you, Mark. Why not? I appreciate that.
Damn it.
It's an awesome game.
Okay, and now let's talk about some of our dislikes, even though I feel like that's kind of what we've been talking about. I'm just going down a list here, trying to make it happen.
the movie?
What? Did you really not like
that? No.
That was like, hard to watch. Here's the thing: is like we've gone through some movies here where I just think are just terrible movies for the movie's sake. Again, I think they had a very specific vision in this movie, and they nailed what they set out to do, which I can't say of Mortal Kombat. I can't say about Mario, the other movies we've talked about. But I can say, like,
Mario.
So they delivered on what they intended to make here. This is a cash grab. IGN is my favorite quote on this one. They gave it a 0.0 and called it, and I quote, a disaster. And I'm way higher on this because I think that than other movies we've talked about, because they accomplished what they set out to do.
I think I liked it exponentially more than you did.
For sure. I come in here and hate stuff.
There's a lot of stuff that you could comb through and like pick out, but on the whole, this is a movie where if it's on TNT on a Sunday afternoon, I'm gonna watch it.
All right,
okay.
This is a bad movie, but it's an enjoyable movie where you can just turn your brain off and be like, oh, awesome. Just giant monkeys with spears made of iron and weird winged dogs that can fly, even though the weight and the science behind that doesn't quite make sense. But like, it's
wait, that's what you're finding a fault with, not them coming to life?
No, that made sense.
Okay, oh, gotcha.
In the movie, that made sense because of the world that they created.
Sure. Yep.
And the MacGuffin, it's a MacGuffin. The fact that it's not a weird new organization that is like, oh, well, what's this about? They're like, oh, it's the Illuminati. Oh, the Illuminati. I know the Illuminati.
Right.
We don't know anything about them. They want to do everything. They want to control the world. Of course they do, because that's just using that as a common thing to bring people through. I thought it was fine. Like, the characterization is enough to carry the movie. The parts where she's not on screen are really, like, they kind of suffer because it's named after this character. This character makes the film. So without that character around, even when it's like, drink your tea, I know it's disgusting, but look at your arm, I'm totally healed. Even though that was like, this is ridiculous. Her like, are you kidding me? Like, it's like, yeah, but she's healed now and she can go kick some ass. Like, that's the thing, it's her. And she, as the actor and as the character, is the reason why we're there, and she delivers, which makes it at least enjoyable to me.
So, but here's the other thing too, that, like, again, while I'm gonna go back to likes. I'm gonna like the fact that this movie made a good amount of money, right? Because I think that the movie grossed what, like 48.2 in its opening weekend, whatever. I am incredibly grateful that it did, because, like, I think right now, video games as a medium has progressed. They're telling much more nuanced stories.
They're making a lot of movies.
They are. And I'm like, for example, like, Last of Us is just one of my favorite games of all time because of just how nuanced a story that is. And Joel is a character. And, like, again, that encourages me that games or movies like this can be, you know, fiscally successful. And it allows people, now that the medium has evolved, the medium we love so much has evolved and telling way more interesting and dynamic stories. I'm hoping we see that reflected in the movie. That come out in the movie adaptations.
Well,
that's
the hard part, is because video games like The Last of Us give you 10, 15, 20 hours to experience a story in its entirety, and you have to whittle that down to 2, if they're lucky, 3 hours.
Right. No, so I said they have a challenge. I'm not saying it's going to be an easy, but again, that there's story there to work with, right? There just wasn't, to your point, like, the one thing you thought they missed was, like, Lara didn't jump off a cliff and fall to her death. Like, you couldn't talk about, like, how she wasn't a three-dimensional character other than her, like, cup size. She wasn't a well-fleshed-out, God, there's fleshed, it's so bad. She
had an excuse. That whole
it was so
pretty
bad. But you get my point, right? Like, she wasn't, like, dynamic. You couldn't talk about, like, how, like, her, you couldn't talk about, like, anything about Lara other than the fact that you knew she was an adventurer, right? But now we get these characters, again, I don't want to keep going back to Last of Us, but, like, again, the storytelling in games right now is orders of magnitude better than it was at the time. That has me excited that the source material is going to be so much richer that now we'll get, like, much better video, better film adaptations.
I hope so. I definitely hope so. Yeah, because we're going back almost 20 years. All right, so real briefly, the reception it got when it came out.
19% on Rotten Tomatoes. Only 29 people out of 155 critics giving it positive reviews. IGN's disaster movie, 0.0. Roger Ebert, however, gave it 3 out of 4 stars.
This
is his type of movie.
Yeah.
He likes experiences that you can go to the movies and this is the only place that you can do them. This is very much a big screen movie. Like, if this is 2000, so much stuff has come out since then that makes this sort of passe and old hat. But going back to 2001, there wasn't too much that was this, like, realistic, like, robots, don't get me started, but just this sort of a movie had been missing for such a long time.
Yeah.
So getting that type of an adventure again on the big screen, I can totally understand why I gave it a 3 out of 4.
Okay, and like you said, the box office, it opened at $48.2 million. That's a huge amount back in 2001.
Yeah.
And then it's also the third most successful video game adaptation, grossing nearly 275 million.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a crap ton.
And you know, with the second one, I mean, between the two of them, you're close to $500 million. And, like, that excites me that they are. So, like, I think you clued me into this, too. They're just now, post this video game reboot, they're looking to reboot this whole franchise in the cinematic world.
And that's interesting to me because, like, as you were just saying, like, now video games have so much more content and plot.
Totally.
Just like the reboot does. So I'm wondering how much better this possibility can be if they make a new one.
You could probably do 2 movies out of the story in the new Tomb Raider game.
Let's go for four. It's a 1-2, and then the third part will be split into 2. Because I feel like we have to do this. This is written by Evan Daugherty, right? He wrote Snow White and the Huntsman, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and the Divergent.
Surprisingly, I actually enjoyed the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. And I thought it was going to
Which one are we talking about?
The new one.
The Michael Bay.
Oh, this is the Michael Bay one?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Did you see it?
No.
Okay.
No.
I haven't
You'll
seen
be
it
surprised.
Either.
No.
I actually really liked the story of Snow White and the Huntsman as well. So
I did not like that movie.
You did not?
I did not like it.
Did you like the story? We're talking about
I like the story.
So I'm just trying to, like, all I want is a yes. I'm like,
But once again, you know, Charlize Theron stole the show, totally. Which is good. Yep. But anyway, that's
she does that.
It just has me cautiously optimistic, right? Like, this guy's pedigree, obviously, he's written some successful films, so.
But who do you guys envision? I guess you envision Camilla Luddington.
That's all. Title. My mind is broken. That's all I can see now, too.
There is somebody in chat said Emily Blunt.
Oh, yeah, totally. In Live, Die, Repeat. Come on, Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah, she would be totally. Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah, and she's an incredibly capable actress. Like, I feel like she could bring a lot of that, especially if it's this origin story and it's her transformation to, you know, rookie archaeologist to, you know, assassination machine. Like, she'd be great.
Yeah, I think that she's
good job, chat.
Because she has a lot of, like, she has a bubbly personality based on, like, interviews I've seen from her. There is a movie apparently that's in the works. That's something I'm excited about. But that's really all the stuff I can
dig. Who owns the film rights? Because I know Square Enix owns the Crystal Dynamics. I guess they can shop it around. People are shopping
MGM.
Around. Oh, all right. Yeah, that's even better.
Yeah,
that's great. No,
were you concerned that Square was going to try and produce it in house?
Like, if we get another Spirits Within, no.
MGM has announced it will be teaming up with GK Films. I don't know what GK.
That's not.
Do you know GK Films?
No, but that is a problem in and of itself.
I mean, a lot of people. It was George Castillo in chat. Jolie as Croft was powerful on screen. Always felt that she was in control, like Bond is supposed to. Very underrated as an action star. And that's true. It's similar with the Bond movies where anytime Bond's on screen is that's all you're supposed to care about. And
that's
similar
a good point.
With Jolie.
Yeah.
Outbonded Bond.
Ooh.
Yeah. Same damn movie.
So now we're up to the very important question. Your overall rating, fellas.
What's our scale this week?
Let's do it.
Is it Ice Picks?
Yes.
Ice Picks. Out of 5 Ice Picks. You can do a half, so one of them doesn't have to pick.
Can I give 2 ratings? Like a 2001 rating and a 2000? I know, because this thing gets a pass in 2001. I think, like, now I give it a nice pick and a half. But then, I probably would have been along with Ebert. I'm the worst. I know, I come on the show and hate things every week. I think it's hard. It's barely passes as watchable right now.
Interesting.
What?
No, I just didn't. I didn't like much about it.
Once I look past the robots and the robots, thank you for correcting
this is your
my own damn gimmick that I forgot. I'm going to give this a solid 3 ice picks out of 5.
Okay.
I agree with you. I would have given it 3.
It is watchable. This is watchable, and this is very... Yo.
Yeah, Steve. Would it make your rating iconic if you accidentally doubled it?
No.
Like, you get it?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I follow.
Thank you.
I see what you did there.
Steven
I see
Lemieux
what you
on
did
Twitter.
There. Yeah, please. Yeah. Please tweet
no, like, this is very... This is watchable. This is something that I'd watch on a Saturday morning and or a Saturday afternoon. Like, oh, Tomb Raider's on here. Sure, I'll watch it. But it's something that you can just turn off and turn your mind off and enjoy.
Okay.
I have a question for you guys.
Yo.
Do you think that the first Uncharted movie will suffer the same fate as the first Tomb Raider movie?
I think it's a different era, so probably not. It'll have different problems, issues, and good things about it.
You go ahead.
I was going to say, look, so Stephen, my answer to that would be that it depends on the degree to which Naughty Dog's involved. Like, they've got some... Neil Druckmann's run 2 Writers Guild of America awards for his game writing, and if they're involved... I think I'm super cautiously optimistic about that. If they are not, like, especially all of the reboots and restarts and people attached and taken off of this movie, I'm super concerned about it as is. But if those guys jump in and contribute like they are doing that game, then I
wish that Amy Hennig would be attached to the script. We're seeing it with Sony's other properties of Ratchet and Clank and Sly Cooper, where they are just making an animated movie with the same cast and it looks the same. And with how amazing Uncharted 4 looks, just give us Nolan North. Give us
Troy Baker. So
give us everybody. Just make it an animated film. Have the same creative team behind it, and you can do a compressed story. You don't have to make it live action. Just keep it to what it is, and there'll be less of a drop off.
No, same page, right? Like if Druckmann, who is on Uncharted 4, was in Last of Us.
Like,
he's involved.
Don't make it a live action movie. Don't recast the role.
I'd be okay with it with live action, depending on how it turns out. Who would you see if it was live action? Who could you imagine playing?
The problem is I can't see anybody but Nolan North. I can't see or hear that is such an iconic character.
What about Nathan Fillion?
No,
Nathan Fillion is the only person, but he's too old right now. But it's the voice because with Nathan it's a different sort of humanizing thing where Nathan he's always kind of on, you know. So
he's got
so,
the name. No, I'm just kidding.
Let's do Brendan Fraser.
No, not Fraser. We already got Fraser and crap.
All right. So, I mean, I guess that wraps us up. Is there anything else you guys want to say about Tomb Raider, this movie?
I think we've said a lot. I think
don't need to say anything.
I don't need to say
anymore.
Anything else.
This is one that if it's on TV, watch it. If it's on Showtime at like 2 p.m. on a Wednesday, watch it because it's an interesting character study of the careers of the main actors in this movie, and to see where they came from and where they've gone is really interesting.
Did you guys watch the second one, Cradle of Life?
No,
I skipped it too.
I skipped it too.
So that'll be fun when we get to that movie.
Yeah, it'll happen. And also, viewers, let us know what movie you want us to review.
Yes.
Give us a good movie.
Yeah. They're saying Prince of Persia in the chat.
That's actually a really interesting one.
Oh, also, Jake Gyllenhaal wouldn't be a bad Nathan Drake.
Chris Pratt.
He's in everything.
Jake Gyllenhaal? No.
Chris Pratt.
Good.
Chris Pratt.
We need a talented actor.
Yeah, we do.
Chris Pratt.
I love that, man.
That's Julian Ocampo.
Chris Pratt. Did you see him on the Ellen show against the Absolutely Kid doing Dino Trivia?
No.
Yeah, they did Dino Trivia.
Sounds fantastic.
He's
the Absolutely Kid
he is,
destroyed. It's amazing. Watch this.
As much as I love Chris Pratt, I don't know if I can see him being Nathan Drake, but we'll see.
In talks to be indie, so I think we're already...
He's in talks to do a lot of things,
right?
So just because he's good.
He could play you in the movie of this podcast.
I wish.
Chris Pratt would definitely
play
you.
He would have to go back to fat.
Right? He'd be an amazing... Yeah, for sure.
You're not like fat. Come on.
No.
I want to do a fun section real quick because we have time.
Fire away. Bring it on.
Yeah. All right. Each of you choose one video game that you would like to see made into a movie and who is the main actor.
Oh, gosh. That's tough.
I'm going to jump out ahead of this to give you guys a minute because I put a lot of thought into this, Steven. I really have. I'm going to go Last of Us and I want to see Josh Brolin... play.
That would be amazing.
Joel.
Okay.
Yep. Wow. Mazzy Williams, I want her to play.
Mazzy Williams
from Game of Thrones, I want her to play Ellie.
Really?
Isn't she in talks?
I think so. But I think Joel is key to that movie, and Brolin would just destroy. Mm-hmm. So,
Okay, Mark, because I can't. Well, go ahead.
No. I was going to say I'm still thinking.
Okay, I'm still thinking, but the first
thing. If you're
thing,
thinking, I think people in the chat should tweet their ideas to hashtag VG Films and follow you guys.
Yes.
Twitter.
They should do that.
But my first thought is a crazy Mario Kart game and.
Well, I got in 60 seconds.
Yes,
a gritty reboot where
Could you imagine?
It's a hard PG-13. Like, it barely squeaks under the R. Totally.
Yeah. Someone gets, like, the.
I'm on board.
Well, I'm maybe they can so cast like, for Mario.
Jeez.
Mark.
I could. I'm gonna kill ya. Like, yeah, I'll do the Bob Hoskins. I'm too tall. I'd be Luigi. Or, yeah, no, we're too tall. We're both too tall. I'd have to be shorter.
We're in the Luigi.
I could be Waluigi.
Really good. Maybe favorite. Like, what are your favorite games?
But the thing
of
is,
all time?
It's fighting games, and it's stuff that we've already covered, like Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat. I'm trying to like, and we're already talking about Uncharted, which is another one of my favorites. Jeez, I'm trying to think of stuff that I've been playing.
I was going to say you are playing Witcher.
I'm not playing Witcher.
You're not. Playing
no,
Witcher.
I'm not a fan of
Definitely
Witcher.
Definitely not playing Witcher.
And they've already got stuff covered with Halo. Oh, actually, Gears of War.
All right. So who plays Marcus Fenix?
Josh Brolin.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, because there's this hardened soldier that I don't know. I think you need
Razor Hail. Brock Lesnar to play.
No, yes. Brock. Yeah, but he can't act. So
that's really good.
But he has no neck. That's what you need.
Really good.
So you just made me, it just triggered a thought of what about Skyrim and who would play the Dragonborn? That could be anybody, maybe.
Josh Brolin.
Yeah. I mean, there's a character.
No. Chris Pratt. No.
Mario.
Charles Martinet would be perfect for the Dragonborn.
There's not, like, nothing that is you. Like, you can't cast that.
That's the problem.
As a character creator, like, I don't think.
But what
and that's
awesome
the problem with Skyrim.
World
is that just,
that'll
the world's rad. The narrative's really not that good. I don't think. Please don't make a movie out of
They won't.
Out of
it's,
Skyrim.
It's too, like, vast for them to do something like that.
About,
what about you, Steven?
How about we do Earthbound with David Mazouz as Ness?
Okay.
Wow.
Is that your choice?
What about. Actually, I would love to see. Because I would be interested in how they do it. There's a wonderful game called... that I forget.
Describe it. Talk us through
Rogue
it. What's
Legacy.
Going on?
Rogue Legacy is a wonderful independent title where you get into a castle, and every time you die, your descendant takes your place, and the castle changes.
Right.
And there's a reason that the castle changes that you find out at the end of the game. There are four different zones of. There's a forest. There's an underworld. There's the regular castle, and then above the castle. And it's a wonderful like kind of comedic roguelike where you can kind of identify yourself with the characters, but it would be sort of like a really campy thing where you could see the castle moving and changing every time another person tries to attempt the castle.
I could see that.
It's a fun game, and I think it would just be a challenge to make a film out of, and I just absolutely love that game.
I just want to check out the game now.
Rogue Legacy is literally on every platform except for mobile.
You can find
it's
it.
It's so good.
I'm going into it.
Channing Tatum stars as your
as one, sure.
Every Channing Tatum, all of the Tatum.
All of the Tatums, perfect. And he just keeps respawning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Liam Neeson as Castlevania.
Castlevania. Actually, you know what? Actually, and you could probably speak to this too. I would love to see, based on the new Castlevania films, Robert Carlyle be Dracula.
I love
because
Robert Carlyle.
Well, because his performance in the Castlevania games is amazing.
Yeah.
But especially Castlevania Lords of Shadow 2 is just terrible. So you're wasting a good actor's performance on a crappy game. Give him a world where he can play that character.
That's a great idea.
I would, and I mean, you know as well as I do how amazing Robert Carlyle
is. He's so great.
So having him in that role would just be just cool.
I interviewed him at Comic-Con.
I know,
so
and I'm jealous.
Check out that video. Yeah.
Very cool.
Oh, Turok! That would be amazing!
Cerebral Bore.
And guys, real quick, don't forget to send us what you guys want to see, what movie adaptation you want us to review, who you can see play your favorite video game character at hashtag VGFilms, and also you can follow these fellas we're at real quick.
You can find me at Peter the D's on Twitter. I also host a podcast ostensibly about video games, trying to get all of these people. She's done a few times. I'm trying to get this gentleman on the show.
Get me on.
But we talk about all things. So find us on iTunes at Pixel by Pixel.
You can find me on Twitter at Soapbox Mark. I see a couple people in the chat saying Knights of the Old Republic, which brings up the fact that
that's a great. Most recently,
today being recent, I was on today's episode of Jedi Alliance, and I'm kind of in the show every week. So please, it is on this website. So if you go to the channel page, you can find Jedi Alliance and join in the conversation there too. Follow me on Twitter at SoapboxMark.
And you guys, I was drinking soda and I spilled soda on my dog. She's sitting on my
I
lap.
I spilled soda.
So I got to give her a bath after this. Anyway, so you can find me at Kal Aureus and catch us very soon for another video game talk, movie talk. Yeah.
Sounds fantastic. Yeah. See you next time.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.